This is More Than Conquerors with your Bible teacher, Pastor Ray Hegestilianos. As a teaching pastor for almost 30 years, Pastor Ray's heart and vision is simply to build up God's army, enabling them to stand strong in their faith. As the senior pastor at Living Word Christian Church in White Plains, New York, Pastor Ray will challenge you today to begin your walk in integrity and victory, forever changing your life as transformed by the power of God. More Than Conquerors is supported by the generous gifts of listeners like you. You can find us online by going to livingwordchurch.org.
Leading up to Easter Sunday and the glorious, miraculous resurrection that changed the destiny of all those who would call Jesus Lord was an event that had a powerful, earth-shattering impact on generations of all mankind. In an anointed teaching entitled The Real Meaning of the Celebration of That Passover Meal, Pastor Ray recounts truths about what most Christians today refer to as the Sacrament of Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. At such a crucial time in his ministry, why was it so important that Jesus celebrate this Passover feast with his apostles and institute such a holy and spiritually powerful practice when he did? Pastor Ray will explain it all as he recounts the Apostle Paul's rebuke, correction, and stern warnings to the Corinthian church on respecting this sacred experience. Get ready to hear a truly unique and encouraging message on honoring the Lord's body and blood, and probably one you have never heard before.
If you were to extract the message that I'm about to show you that Paul just is preached to the Corinthian church, it wouldn't fly in very many churches in America, because it isn't necessarily a message of encouragement. It's a message of correction, and in some ways, a message of very strong rebuke. Often what happens in our lives as Christians is many times we adopt these practices as we ought to, because communion is something that is very powerful, it's very holy, it's very honoring to God and very helpful to us. And we'll see all of this as we study it today. But often when we get involved in some things, we tend to sometimes just do things out of habit. And it becomes habitual, and in the habit we lose the meaning. In the habit of doing certain things, we lose the essence or the importance or the meaning of it. I mean, we may have a little idea, but we just kind of go through the motions. And often I wonder how many times we approach the table of the Lord, the communion time, in this fashion and in this manner. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. In fact, we're going to see in a little bit that Paul thought it very, very important that he addressed the issue very, very directly and very powerfully. So communion is a very, very important thing. We count communion a very special, a very powerful, a very holy, and a very important thing to practice. Comes to my attention, and I've heard this, there are some churches that don't do it but every several months or once a year because they've got the wrong idea, the wrong teaching about it. And we want to clear some of that up. Communion is something that we ought to practice, and we ought to practice it regularly. Amen. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you by saying this, that you ought to practice this at home as a family. You don't need a special prayer prayed over, and we'll see this today and we'll talk about it. But, you know, the grape juice and the bread that we use, when it's on the shelf of the grocery store, it has no meaning. But the minute we bring these elements into the house of God, or even in our own homes, bring them to our table and present them to God and declare and decide in our hearts that these symbols, these emblems represent Jesus's body and Jesus's blood, these emblems become holy in the presence of God right there and then. If you understand the seriousness of what you're doing when you do this, you will approach this day and this time. Actually, you'll approach every time you come together as the body of Christ. You come together in church in a very, very different way, in a very much more respectful and holy way. And that's what we're going to look at in the scriptures today. So I want you to open with me. Let's start in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, because Jesus is the one who instituted this concept, this practice of receiving communion or celebrating the Lord's Supper, as we call it, some people call it. And we're really taking a poke right now, or a peek, into what we understand to be the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before he actually went to the crucifixion. And here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, you remember the Last Supper was actually the celebration of the Passover feast, because it was the feast of Passover, and it was traditional for them to have this Passover dinner. And Jesus was gathered his disciples, and he had this Passover, this Last Supper with his disciples. So he says here in verse 15, he said to them, "With fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks. See, every time we sit down at the supper table and we eat, that's why we give thanks. That's why you ought to pray over your food, pray together as a family. Jesus set that down. So he says, he took the cup and he gave thanks, verse 17, and he divided it, take this and divide it among yourselves, verse 18. "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Verse 19. And he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And that means, that signifies Jesus' broken body. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Of course, for you and for all that would come after you. So Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper by taking the bread, breaking the bread, and saying, "This is my body." And of course, the broken bread really symbolizes the brokenness or the beating that Jesus would himself go through with his own physical body in your behalf and my behalf. The cup, which contained the wine or the juice, whatever they were drinking, it represented the new covenant that Jesus was about to ratify and sign with his own blood. The new covenant with all of its promises. The new covenant with all of its provisions. The new covenant that says that we're no longer held bondage and captive to our sins, that Jesus, through his blood, would pay the price for the penalty of sin once and for all, which means for every believer who would believe on him and receive him as Lord of their life would have the freedom from the guilt and the shame and the penalty of their sin, because Jesus took the penalty upon his body and paid the price with his own blood. Can I get a better amen than that? So Jesus institutes, and he says to do this, so we ought to do it. This is not an idea, this is not a thought, this is not an afterthought. Sometimes, this is just the feeling I've gotten over the years, that sometimes the communion time is more of an afterthought for the church, when it really should be, and we celebrate this as a complete body. We celebrate the first Sunday, and that's the time we actually pass out the elements. But this ought to be like the biggest deal that we do in a given month, is when we come together and receive these elements, because by doing so, we are remembering all that Jesus did for us on that cross at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Can you give me a better amen than that? All right. And just to give you a little background before we read these verses, so we have a little bit more understanding. It was the common practice of that day in the early church that they would come together and have an actual meal together, just like the Last Supper. They would come in fellowship, and during that fellowship, they would break bread and they would do what Jesus instructed them to do. But they would have these what they call love feasts. And it was for the purpose of celebrating and commemorating this experience that Jesus, or this thing that Jesus had instituted, where he told her, do this, break the bread, drink the cup, do this in remembrance of me. So Paul gets wind of the fact that there's some things going on in the Corinthian church that didn't make him happy, because they were not conducting themselves quite in the way they should have when they were coming to the general meeting celebrating the Lord's Supper. And it ticked Paul off. And Paul, in no uncertain words, he addresses this issue with full gusto. As a matter of fact, if you were to extract the message that I'm about to show you that Paul just is preached to the Corinthian church, it wouldn't fly in very many churches in America, because it isn't necessarily a message of encouragement. It's a message of correction. And in some ways, a message of very strong rebuke. And those kind of messages really don't fly in America anymore, because everybody's all about getting encouraged and the You know, the best yet's in you and the best is to come and greater is he that is, you know, and that's all good. And church ought to encourage us, and there is a time to encourage, but we can never allow that to cause us to demean the things of God and the church of God. And I said this last night that in some church circles, going to church is more like going to a business seminar where they, what do they call them? You know, when they, motivation, a motivational meeting. And that's not all church is meant to be. Sometimes it needs to be a correction meeting. Sometimes it needs to be an adjustment meeting. Right? Because God wants us to be all that we could be. So as it relates to the table, supper table of the Lord, Paul is really ticked. So let's read down and see how Paul addresses this, and then we'll make some comments as we go along. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. So Paul says, he says, "Now in giving these instructions that he's about to give them, I do not praise you, since you come together," talking about their church meetings, "not for the better, but for the worse." In other words, you're coming together, but this isn't bettering you. As a matter of fact, this is making you worse. This is not increasing you. This is not blessing you. As a matter of fact, it's detracting from you and taking away from you. In other words, your meetings have become almost meaningless. "Good morning, my name is Apostle Paul, and I'm here to instruct you. Your meetings are for the worse and not for the better." As a matter of fact, what you're doing is a disgrace. How would you like to hear a pastor get up and preach that on Sunday morning? Paul, man, that's why, you know, I love Paul, because he was just direct. So he says, "I don't praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So he's got a problem with their church meetings. And he says in verse 18, "For first of all, that means he had a list of other things. "When you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." Well, you know, that's a powerful saying. Most people don't understand what he's saying here. He's saying that in the given church, there are going to be those that are going to be revealed to be the ones that are causing division and causing problems, so that those who are the faithful ones, those who are the true ones, those who are the committed ones, those who are the real ones will be recognized, because they're the ones that aren't going to be at the source of division and factions and causing trouble. God sometimes allows that to happen so that they can be recognized, the good ones can be recognized. We can see the difference between the committed ones and the not so committed ones. And sometimes a division is the hand of God. And he says in verse 20, he says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." You're coming together under the guise that you're eating the Lord's Supper, but you're not really eating the Lord's Supper. You've disgraced the Lord's Supper. You've turned it into something other than what it was intended to be. You come together, but you think, it had gotten so bad in the Corinthian church when they were coming together as a church and celebrating the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. It had gotten so bad that they were deceived into thinking that they were doing right when they were really doing wrong. Now listen to what he says. "For in eating," he's talking about this love feast, "each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other is drunk." So here he's talking about the love feast. He's identifying the love feast here. Now let's read it down, then we'll go. He says, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." So what Paul was saying is, you get together to have a love feast, but this is a love feast that has no love in it. You get together with the idea of spreading this love and sharing this love, but there is no love, because some of you, you know, you have more. You have homes that are well stocked with food. There are some among you that don't have anything, but you come and push them aside, and you run and gobble up all the food, you glutton. So not only was there self-deception going on, but there was selfishness going on. People were putting themselves before others. Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. I'm saying, he's talking about the local church here and the activities and the behavior and the mentality that was in the church at Corinth at this particular time, and he is not happy about it, because he identifies this as being very displeasing and distasteful to the Lord. There was a big problem going on at the church of Corinth when they were joining together as a church, and there's no reason not to believe that they weren't practicing this every week or maybe multiple times a week. So what we would call our normal church service is what he's addressing here. It's just that once a month we purpose to focus in on receiving the elements, but they probably did it every week. And he's saying, so there were divisions, factions, self-deception, selfishness, neglect, drunkenness. Drunkenness. What they basically did is they turned this holy meeting, this holy assembly that was really instituted by the Lord for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they turned it into a huge party. The party spirit got on them. And it perverted the whole meaning of this group gathering, of this church, of the church getting together to celebrate all that Jesus had done in their behalf. And Paul is ticked. And he's coming as the apostle and the leader to straighten this out. And with no uncertain words, he doesn't hold back anything. He just lays it on them as thick as he could lay and tell them, this is disgraceful with the way you've allowed. See, folks, let me tell you something. Let me just do a little teaching here. You see, you got to understand, that's why a church needs to have rules, guidelines. That's why, because Paul, in another place in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, talks about doing everything decently and in order, because this is the house of God. We come together as the body of Christ to honor and to praise and to pay homage to our Lord and Savior, and we can't do it in a disorderly way that would be disrespectful to God and to his kingdom. That's why there's authority in the house of God. That's why we go through a chain of authority that God has set up, because it's for the purpose of keeping things decent and in order in the house of God. Because God loves order in his house. So these people had gotten so off base in coming together that Paul has to address it, and he addresses it very, very harshly. So then he goes to verse 23 and he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So he had talked to them about communion. And isn't it interesting to note something here, that what Paul is about to give us, which we actually read in Luke, Paul says that he didn't get this from anybody but Jesus. He said, "What I got from the Lord, I delivered to you." And then he goes on to say that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. We'll read it in a minute. But he got that directly from Jesus. Here's my point. If Paul got that directly from Jesus, and Jesus gave that directly to the original 12, would you agree with me that communion time and celebrating the Lord's Supper is of great importance to Jesus? Amen. He gave the same instructions to Jesus, I mean to Paul, Jesus did, and Paul said, "Now I delivered this to you. And let me remind you what I said." And he said, when he had given, what I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he says, "For as often as you eat this bread," see, we're supposed to do it often. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," now listen, this is powerful. "Listen, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You proclaim the... Well, what does that mean? I proclaim the Lord's... What does it mean to proclaim? It means to speak something out. Yeah. It means to tell about it. It means to declare it. You proclaim... Well, what am I proclaiming in the Lord's death? I'm proclaiming everything that Jesus won for me through the victory on the cross at Calvary when he gave up his body and shed his blood. He gave me salvation. He gave me deliverance. He gave me a deliverance from the power of sin, the guilt and the shame connected with it. He gave me healing. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. He gave me prosperity in every sense of the word. So when I come with the communion elements in my hand, what am I supposed to do? I come respectfully, knowing, understanding, and appreciating all that Jesus won for me. And with those elements, I stand before the mountain of my trouble, the mountain of my sickness, the mountain of my problem, the mountain of some other issue in my life, whatever it be. And I declare the Lord's death and what it means to that situation, that I have victory, I have power, I have deliverance, I've got the breakthrough because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I have been set free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, put your hands together and give Him praise and glory. Basically, what Paul is saying is that you've forgotten the awesomeness of the gathering of the saints when you are receiving or practicing or celebrating this supper, this Lord, the table of the Lord. You have forgotten the power and the awesomeness of what this represents and what this means. And I am very, very upset about the fact that you have taken something so holy and you've diminished it into a party. Selfishness, greed, neglecting those who are needy around you, focusing in on yourself. It's a love feast without the love. And he says, I've got to address you in this because this is a very, very serious matter that needs to be fixed right now. And I wonder how many times we come to church and we come to the table of the Lord and we just do it. Because it's the thing to do. We don't realize that when we come together as the body of Christ, what that means and how important it is and what it's representing. Paul gets into it and he gets into this whole thing here that's so powerful. And he says in verse 27, he says, therefore, he says all this to say, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Wow, so what does it mean to partake of the Lord's cup in an unworthy manner? Now let me talk about what it isn't for a minute. Because often, you know, we think that we have to be in some sort of perfect condition in order to come and receive the cup of the Lord or receive communion or to participate in the body of Christ. But the fact of the matter is that we're, as much as we try, we all fail. Even though we are sinners that have been initially sinners that have been saved by the grace of God and now are the saints of the Most High God, we still fail. How many of you failed this week? How many of you failed yesterday? How many of you are failing right now? There's not a one of us in this house that's perfect. But thank God for the shed blood of Jesus and His broken body. Thank God. Thank God that actually that communion element that we celebrate, the communion, is made for the sinner because it's a constant reminder of what Jesus has done and how He has made me worthy. He has made me righteous. He has given me the ability to stand in the presence of God.
Tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 for More Than Conquerors with Pastor Ray. If today's message was a blessing to you, ask for your free CD of the broadcast for a gift of any amount to help support this radio ministry. Just mail your request with your check to More Than Conquerors or MTC, P.O. Box 8187, White Plains, New York, 10602. Be sure to include the date of the message you're requesting. If ordering a complete Bible study series, a minimum love offering of $20 is appreciated. Identify the series and include the word series in your order. If you missed any of the hundreds of inspiring, life-changing Bible study messages of encouragement taught by Pastor Ray on this More Than Conquerors radio station, such as those on salvation, healing, miracles, faith, forgiveness, and many more, podcast downloads of all these programs are yours free of charge by simply going to PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com and clicking on Podcasts. That's podcasts at either PastorRayNY.com or WMCA.com. Thank you for listening to and supporting this ministry of God-centered lessons of integrity and victory from the Word of God, and being ever mindful that, as life's challenges come, God's Word is truth and will always impact our lives in a positive way in making us more than conquerors.